This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Royals lineup is out for their first baseball game of 2025. That game can be heard today on 96.5 The Fan at 2 o'clock.
Must be nice to be Carrington now.
Well, he's still got to do the show from 5 to 6.
Oh, he does?
Well, we'll see.
That's true. It is baseball. They do move fast now. I forgot about that.
Yeah, they don't
that's
really right. do stuff in postgame. Jonathan India, Bobby Witt Jr.
India in left field.
Mm-hmm. Witt, obviously, at short. Pasquantino at first. Renfro at DH. Michael Massey at second. Velazquez, I guess they're still trying that guy out. He's in right field. Kyle Isbell's in center. Lofton at third. O'Keefe is catching. And Lynch IV. As Bob calls him, is pitching. O'Keefe is probably just a guy trying to make a roster. I bet his number is like 71.
I literally never heard of that guy. Yeah. Right. O'Keefe, huh?
Yeah. So no Melendez, no Sal. Now, obviously, it's spring. They're just...
Well, I mean, they're clearly done for the year. They're not in the first lineup. Do they want this or not?
Yeah, they're not.
Honestly, do you want this or not? Do
no.
you want to be division champs or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because it sure seems like O'Keefe wants it more than Sal.
Yeah.
Anybody know what O'Keefe's name is?
They really got to work on this load management in spring baseball. Like, guys are going to Arizona to see Salvador Perez play baseball, and he's not playing.
Got to play.
That's a shame.
Got to play him in spring training.
Shame. I wanted to go see MJ Melendez. That's the only time he ever does.
He's not playing?
Nope. That's the only time he ever does anything productive in spring.
Yeah.
Darn. I guess I'll just waste my ticket in Arizona.
O'Keefe. I want more on that guy.
That's normally what's at the bottom of a grinder. It is Friday. It is 9 o'clock. Let's get into the Richard of the week here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
I could say Brock from the old number five says O'Keefe is the main character from Caddyshack. Dolly, am I hot today? Amazon could be my Rich of the Week for many reasons. One, they bought the James Bond franchise, or they're taking the content control of the James Bond franchise from the Broccoli family. But that's not why Amazon is my Rich of the Week. A 29-year-old woman in Baltimore, Maryland, was run over by an Amazon delivery driver in a van. I don't know if you've seen the video. It's pretty graphic, but the incident happened on February 18th while the woman was crossing the street. The driver briefly stopped as the victim was heard weeping on the street under the vehicle, but he accelerated and rolled over her body again. After spending around 30 seconds with the woman, the driver walked back to their van and drove away. The victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. The driver has been suspended from his duties. How do we run over people? Like, that's where I'm at. Like, how do you honestly, like, run over somebody crossing a street? You're either on your cell phone or you're just a Richard.
Well, I think, like, when we drive in, there's a lot of times I will see people in full black gear walking down the street at night or early in the morning. If you're going to be out walking and it's dark, you've got to wear bright colors. You've got to wear a reflector. You've got to watch where you are.
This is in a four-way stop.
in Baltimore, and it's lit up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lights everywhere. There's even the hanging Edison bulb lights on the street.
Yeah, because you're not paying attention, exactly. is what it ultimately boils down to. And I think we were talking about this off the air the other day. Texting and driving to me now is worse than drinking and driving. I don't think many people drink and drive as much as they used to because we now have Uber. It's right there on our phone. If you're drinking and driving in this day and age,
you're just
a piece of trash.
Yes.
I mean, there's just no other
lazy,
way to put it,
idiot,
right?
Yeah,
lazy,
whatever
the case may be. Uber, Lyft, they're right there on your phone. You can get a ride home. I don't think drinking and driving is as popular, if you will, as it was 20 years ago. It shouldn't be, right? The texting and driving thing, though, is a major crisis in this country right now.
Well, and you can call it. Like, you'll see somebody in front of you, and they'll, like, hug a lane.
Oh,
and then you're like, I guarantee you when I pass this person, they're on their phone.
And used to be that back in the day was they were drunk, right?
Like,
what they would do with
that.
But now this happens at 10 in the morning, 11, 12, like, all through the midday. It happens when you're picking up your kids at school. You can see these cars drifting. I do drive alongside these cars when I see people texting, and I lay on the horn. And it scares the hell out of those people in the car.
Do the John Candy?
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And they look at you, and I honk again. I kind of give them like a Larry David look, like, what are we doing here,
like,
right?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Like, and if you think I'm bad because I'm scaring them, they're scaring me because they're on their phone while they're driving instead of paying attention to the damn road. And it drives me up a wall. And the texting and driving crisis in this country is really getting out of hand to the point where I think it was yesterday on 69, there was an accident. And I'm like, there was no ice. There was no nothing. Clearly, to me anyway, it looked like, and I think you guys would agree because I think you saw it as well, somebody was clearly on their phone and not paying attention and caused a three-car accident. Like, you are a selfish human being if you think you need to be on your phone while you're behind the wheel of the car. Put it down. It's not that important.
I will be honest, and I will say this. I do it too much. Like, there's times where I text, and I'm like, that text didn't need to be sent. Or there's times where, like, obviously I talk to myself a lot, where, like, I'll, like, be looking at a text and, like, text it, and then all of a sudden I'll see that I'm doing it. I'm like, Dusty, put the damn phone down.
Yeah, it can wait.
Just wait till you get to a red light.
Same.
Wait till you get to a stop sign. Wait till you get to a parked location, and then you can say something. Because if somebody texts you, and it's like, hey, what are your plans this evening? And you don't respond in 5 minutes, like, I guess you're not going to talk to me. That person doesn't need to be in your life anyway.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And even if you have...
And that rarely, if ever, happens.
Yeah, but, like, even if you have, like, Apple CarPlay or Android CarPlay or whatever they call it, you know, in your car, like, speaking the text is one thing, but it's never right. And so then you're back on your phone checking and correcting all the mistakes that Siri made, because she sucks at her job. Siri is the worst person at their job.
Is that your Richard of the Week?
Anything. My Richard of the Week is actually Mother Nature.
And
I'm done with you. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my Richard of the Week is Mother Nature. I'm going the female version this week. Up yours, Mother Nature. Because this has sucked. Like, bad it has sucked, right?
I just want to know what grass looks like.
Oh, please. My God. It's I mean, we haven't had, literally, there's been snow on the ground every day since January 3rd, and it hasn't dissipated since.
Yeah. It just looks like Tony Montana's desk out there everywhere you turn. Like,
just when we were
getting
out of the snow, another storm hit, right? So hopefully this time next week with the 60-degree days, it's all gone and we don't have to worry about this anymore. But right now, Mother Nature, you're my Richard of the Week.
Well, and it's just to punch you in the freaking face cold, man. Like the snow and then this. Yeah, so I agree. Mine would be... person literally tried to hit me on Wednesday on the road, like legitimately had a road rage because it was right after the snow. I was going a big curve. I have a little Lexus. I get you can drive too slow. We talked about it. It can be unsafe. But on this big curve, it was still icy and snowy. I was taking it slow, 20 miles an hour, not like molasses, but I was taking it slower. It's a big curve. I have a little car. I'm sorry. This guy is on my ass. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Red truck with truck nuts?
No, you'd think. It's a Ford Fusion, little car like mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then riding my ass the whole time, gets over, it does the whole thing, and then I'm like, okay, I guess you're an a-hole, whatever. And then drives, and we're kind of, you know, neck and neck on either lane, and then comes into my lane on purpose. I'm on the right shoulder of the lane, like I'm almost hitting like a curb, like trying to hit me, and then gets up, speeds up in front of me, stops right in front of me to like try to get me to run them over, run them, hit the rear end them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. I did ascend a finger.
Good.
A finger did ascend.
You should have, yeah.
I just
pissed.
Wave and smile. Sometimes you just smile at him. Hi.
I wish I could. I just could not control.
Yeah.
I was pissed.
It's easy after the fact to think, I should have just smiled.
I should have just smiled.
Because that would have got him even more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would have riled him up even more. Was he on his phone, too?
I don't think so. He was on Max's ass.
Yes, dude. Like, what did I do? It was 5 seconds behind me.
I've only had
which is a long time when you're driving.
That's I've only had one guy that really got really upset with me for something that I did that was probably my fault because I think I was like merging over and I didn't see him behind me.
Sometimes that happens.
And like it's called a blind spot. Yeah. And so like I went right back over and like he sped up and then stopped lane by lane.
That guy,
and I was like, I was like, sorry. And he was just like, he's like, you know, doing all this stuff and just kept going with me. Cause then I did the just stay focused, Dusty. And I'm just doing this. And the whole time I can just see that he's just right there. I'm like, all right, dude.
And then eventually
it's just the, I'm like, awesome. Congratulations.
You won.
You win, dude. Yeah,
that guy's a loser.
I don't trust road rage because I don't know who's going to pull out a gat and put my life to its end. Like, don't want that. It ain't that deep, man. I'll get to work. I'll get home. Why are you so angry? We're driving. Imagine what happens when we can fly these cars. That's coming.
Oh, that we've been hearing that since my childhood.
Can't wait. Mm-hmm. Road rage is insane. People lose all. Train of thought.
Leave 5 minutes earlier, man. Like, it's not that hard. Nope. The reason you're road raging is because you're late. That's on you.
Someone's give up a thumb, and someone isn't. When someone's road raging, just give them a thumbs up.
Yeah, that's a good one as well. I've done that before. It shakes them a little bit. They're not sure how to respond.
Mm-hmm. I'm a truck driver. I used to do road work on the highway. So if I see someone texting while driving, I honk my horn and tell them to get off your effing phones. Man, you get a truck to honk at you. Do people still do the...
I do all the time.
The truck honk?
Yeah, all the time. Kids love it. They think it's hysterical. They beep every time.
Mm.
Love it.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to a possible, maybe a chance that we'll dive into a Royals player that can call a show. Vern's there in their locker room live in Arizona. But if not, we'll get back into the discussion that we had earlier today about how great that game was last night and what it can do for the future of fans in sports in general that they're not familiar with. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we're back at it. Friday morning rolling through. Another edition, Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan. One of my friends is getting into a little bit of a sports debate with somebody who's a Dallas Cowboy fan, and he's saying Tyron Smith, Larry Allen, Travis Frederick, who I don't know, Zach Martin, and Eric Williams. There isn't a single NFL team with a better all-time offensive lineup than that. My friend responds, he goes, I'm not a Raider fan, but Art Shell, Gene Upshaw, Jim Otto, Ron Mixon, Bob Brown, 5 Hall of Famers on the offensive line.
Damn.
And so I asked Mac in the break, I said, who would be your all-time Chiefs offensive line if you were looking to put together the best Chiefs
2002
offensive line of all time? Who would be on that line?
It'd be Will Shields, it'd be Brian Waters, it'd be Creed, it'd be Mitchell Schwartz, and it'd be Willie Roaf.
Okay. Hard to argue that. The only one I would argue and have a debate over is Casey Wigman at center over Creed. But I mean, I think you're splitting hairs.
Yeah, really close.
You know, with that one right now. So I'm not going to disagree with that offensive line lineup. I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Is it better than 5 Hall of Famers? It's pretty damn close, though. Brian Waters should be in the Hall of Fame.
I was going to ask that.
Brian Waters is a Hall of Fame football player and should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know how you get him in there. I don't know why he's not in there because he was always like second fiddle to Will Shields. But Brian Waters is a Hall of Fame player. Go back and watch his games if you don't know who Brian Waters is or want to. I mean, that dude, he was a defensive lineman with the Cowboys, and I think they cut him or traded him up here, and Vermeil flipped him to the offensive line, and that dude was as good as you've ever seen at that guard position. Him and Will Shields are just great at that guard position, and you know Creed Humphrey's an amazing center, but I think on that offensive line, Casey Wigman always kind of got lost in the shuffle when you had Willie Roaf, Will Shields, Brian Waters, and then Rando at the left tackle, you know, at times. But yeah, so I think your offensive line is pretty, I think Mitchell Schwartz is a really good pull there at the right tackle position. And I don't know that I would have thought of Mitchell immediately, but I should have. That's bad on my part.
Yeah, I mean, who would the other...
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know who the other guy would be at that position. You know,
John T.
But not long enough here. You know, like, and he moved from left to right and then had the incident with Carl at the hotel with his agent and all that. Like,
but are we just talking about his emotions or are we talking about his actual talent?
Yeah, his actual talent. But I still think Mitchell Schwartz is the better right tackle when it's all boiled down to it. Like, I think Mitchell Schwartz sort of kind of rewrote the salaries for right tackles in the NFL. people started getting paid at that position.
That's true. That was right about when
when Mitchell Schwartz really kind of came to Kansas City and took off, you know? Mm-hmm. It was a great move by the Chiefs to go out and get him from, you know, Cleveland.
Just need to bring back Omar Easy. Get the fullback back in action. I would just use that entire, like, what was it, 2003 offensive line that had everybody that you just basically mentioned.
Yeah, with the exception of the right tackle in the center, which you could debate all day. And it, I don't know if you get anywhere debating Casey Wigman versus Creed.
Yeah. Like you said, splitting hairs, tit for tat right there.
You know, fine, you want Casey, I'll take Creed. You'll take Creed, I'll take Casey. Fine, I'll be really good either way. Yeah. You know, I'll be really good either way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, 2003 team, 13-3, that's what got me into football, like, to the fullest because of those dudes. I mean, basically because they just blocked for Priest Holmes the entire time, and he just went nuts that year, and that offense was awesome.
They were great.
I mean, Trent Green, what a year. What a year. 4,000 yards in 2003. You didn't see that a whole lot.
Nobody was throwing the ball a lot back then. You know,
24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
24 touchdowns was a big number in 2003. It really was. I mean, like, that was a huge number back then.
Well, what's impressive is they threw for 4,000 yards, and Priest ran for 1,400 and had 27 touchdowns.
The team doesn't get enough love for how good their offense was. Like, I mean, you could argue it was better than the best Mahomes-era offense because it was so balanced. I mean, you mentioned the Priest-Holmes numbers.
Mm-hmm.
4,000 passing yards for Trent Green and 1,400 rushing yards for Priest Holmes.
And they had 24 touchdowns and 27 touchdowns. Gonzalez was...
I mean, Priest Holmes had more rushing touchdowns than Trent Green had passing touchdowns. Think about that in one season.
Gonzalez had 17 receptions, 916 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
17 receptions?
71, 916, and 10 touchdowns. Hell, Johnny Morton had 740 yards.
Yeah, Johnny Morton had a nice year that
Eddie
year.
Eddie Kennison, 853.
Mm-hmm.
Priest Holmes had 690 receiving yards.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's always what I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be, was kind of like that Priest. Like, I mean, I don't think there is an argument. That offense was better than what the Chiefs had in Patrick Mahomes' first year because they had the balance.
And Dante Hall had four special teams.
Yeah, defense. I mean, like
Kareem Hunt did lead the league in rushing that first year.
He did, yeah.
So they did have a balance. It wasn't Priest Holmes, but
what was funny though is he led the league in rushing with like 1,071 yards. It was like the lowest total to lead the league in rushing since the other time. So like, not to debunk that.
No,
stat,
you're right.
But he did lead, but it was like
it wasn't 1,400 yards.
Yeah,
it was like being 27 touchdowns.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I mean, think about that. 27 touchdowns the gentleman had that year.
Leap over it, baby.
When was the last time a non-quarterback even got into the 20s with touchdowns?
Didn't Dwayne Bowe have like 18?
No, he only had like 10 or 15.
It was like 15, I think. 15. Yeah.
True. I mean, I'm not talking for the Chiefs. I'm talking just the NFL in general. When was the last time
Randy Moss had 24 receiving touchdowns that year? He broke the record.
What year was that?
07. Ja'Marr Chase, what did he have this year? 17? He had 90 catches.
And that really does tie back into the whole argument about the Cincinnati Bengals and what they want to do with their team. Because that Cincinnati Bengal team is very much reminiscent of that 03 Chiefs team. Yeah, they had a great offense, but by God, they couldn't stop anybody. And if the Chiefs just got at least one stop per game or one more stop per game in 2003, who knows what that final script is written about that team. And so if you're pushing for the Cincinnati Bengals to sign all their offensive weapons, well, you're just recreating a Chiefs team that we saw fall short because they didn't have anybody on defense that could get out there and stop the opposition. And so you need to have people on defense. You need to pay your defensive players. It's not just all about offense because history has shown it's a fool's gold and a fool's way to kind of do things.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase had 17 touchdowns this year.
Yep. It happens more. The 20 happens more than we think.
Really?
I mean, yeah, it does. I mean, Gibbs had it this year. Raheem Mostert had it in 2023. McCaffrey. There's names. I mean, Eckler did it a few years back. Alvin Kamara. But you're right. It's one a year and it's 20.
Yeah, it's not 27.
No.
Didn't LaDainian Thomas end up like breaking that record too?
No, it was
Sean Alexander.
And then LT, I believe.
And then LT broke it after that.
Yes.
But I mean, still, I mean, you're not seeing anything like that. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll get that swing back now. You know, where Priest Holmes and guys like that. Yeah, I've made the case for years about Priest being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You put his numbers up to Terrell Davis, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They had basically the same time span. Priest Holmes is better than him in just about every category. The only thing is, obviously, Terrell Davis has the world championships, and that kind of puts you up on a different pedestal. But I think people forget how awesome Priest Holmes really was and how much of a changer he was when it comes to this game and where we were back in those days. I mean, that guy was a dual threat. He could run. He could catch out of the backfield. He could score from anywhere on the field. That was a dynamic offense, man. That was as much fun as I've ever had watching offensive football. I mean, it was special. We didn't realize what we were watching because that defense was so bad, and then we had the no punt game. They win nothing in the playoffs, and their legacy is, man, what could have been.
Yeah. Would have been nice. Royals get their action started today, 2 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern, live in Arizona. Lineup is out. Team is going to rock powder blue jerseys on opening day, going to rock powder blue jerseys throughout the season. Do you kind of get the feeling now that baseball's here? Does it still have to wait a little bit longer until it's like closer to opening day?
I watched 9 innings yesterday of the Dodgers and Cubs. Baseball is back, baby. And you know, we were talking about this O'Keefe guy. His name is Brian O'Keefe. He has 10 major league games in his career, and he's wearing number 0. I kind of like that for the catcher, number 0 behind home plate. I think that looks kind of cool. So he's the guy. No, I think baseball fans are going to be excited about the way that the game is going to go this year for a lot of reasons. I think the competition is going to be great this year. I think there's a lot of superstars in Major League Baseball this year, and spring training is going to be the testing ground for the automated ball strike system that Major League Baseball ultimately wants to get to. I saw it in action yesterday, and I mean this as well as I can. I didn't notice it was in action yesterday, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing, because by the time they showed the replay of the pitch, the challenge was already in. It was already decided upon, and we had moved on. And it was cool to see it go through, and it gives you the best of both worlds. You get the robot, so you get the robot element, but you also get the human element as well. And if you don't like what the human says, then challenge it and let the robot view. If you win the challenge, you keep it. If you lose it, you lose your challenge. You get 2 per game, and it happens instantaneously. Like I said, you didn't even know it was going on when it was going on. And so they're going to do their test run, obviously, in spring training. And probably, hopefully by next year, we've got it implemented at the big league level, and it will make this game even better than it is right now.
And didn't Q tell us last year that the team was going to be able to have, like, what is it, like, not VR, but like live, like, pitching that you can go, like, look at the pitcher and, like, put his, like, sort of mechanics into it.
There's a batting cage that some teams have right now that you can simulate all kinds of pitching today. So you put Nolan out there and you actually hit off of him.
Or if they have a guy warming up in the bullpen, you can go plug him in. And then during the interchange of the inning, you can go down there and do that. Somebody asked on the text line, are the uniforms still see-through? Nope. Got rid of those, right? Didn't you say that?
They're in the process. Oh. Some uniforms will be corrected this year. Others will not be. I'm being serious about this until next year. How do you not correct this during the off season? This is like people coming to spring training already hurt. Like you've done nothing but pull on an elastic band that's tied to a fence.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're Nike, how are you not fixing these uniforms last year when this was going on and getting a jump start on it? So when you start 2025, you're ready to go. That's stupid.
Yeah, it's funny that like a see-through uniform is a huge thing. Also, like the Yankees saying that you can now grow a beard. I mean, I do love the robot umpires, though. I think that is great. As long as it doesn't lead to like a shutdown of the sport to where like the umpires like unionize and they're like, you know what, if you guys have this, we don't want to have this either. So like, see you later.
The umpires in baseball make about $350,000 a year. Money. They'd be foolish to walk away because of the robots being there. Like that is a full-time job. That is a lot of money that those guys make. And again, you didn't even notice that the umpire was a robot yesterday. Or not the umpire was a robot, but they went to the robot call. The guy challenged it like, oh, there's a challenge and there's the next pitch.
I do love that baseball is doing this, though. Like, they're listening and changing with the times. And I still think that the season is way, way, way too long. But you think about how, like, you know, they get mad at calls. They get mad at, you know, this and that. And, you know, they get mad that the game takes too long. They now, you know, the way they look at it is, you know, the game was too slow. Batters were taking too much time in the box. All this sort of stuff. They knocked that out. The games have gotten from 3.5 hours to 4 hours to 2 hours and 25 to 2 hours and 35 minutes.
It's been great.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're there or not. Like, even if you were there, it's awesome. You can only be around so many people for so long to where you're like, all right, let's get out of here. Or if you're a family with kids and it's a Wednesday night and the game starts at 6:40 and all of a sudden the game's over at 8:50.
Yeah, that's like, great. Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not great math. That's 2 hours and 10 minutes. But you get what I'm saying. Some games could be that. I mean, imagine if Greg Maddux pitched with the clock. That game would be over in an hour. So,
jeez, yeah. So I didn't even think of like that 58 minutes, it's over.
Be awesome.
Yeah. Then people complain they didn't get their money's worth.
Which, again, Major League Baseball, and maybe I'm wrong about this, Major League Baseball listens to its fan base more than any other sport. Because
fans, yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Fans were pissed that games were going so fast with the new pitch clock. And baseball came out and said, you know what? The seventh inning rule no longer applies. We'll serve alcohol until the eighth inning applies. Or until the eighth inning is at its end. Because fans reached out. Fans were mad that baseball was taking too long. They put in a pitch clock. Fans were mad that, you know, players were getting hurt because of the bases. They made them bigger. Fans are mad that that umpires get calls wrong and that they could argue balls and strikes and things could be different. They put in robots. So, again, like, baseball is doing something that other sports could do. Because all I've seen today that's been hilarious is Adam Silver ripping the cords of the NHL game last night, taking everything out of
it. Oh, that's fantastic. I like that. Yeah. They got cooked, and they know it.
Oh, it was bad.
They got cooked, and they know
it. What we watched last night is something that, I don't know if necessarily the fans wanted it, but it was something that was entertaining, lit up to the hype, had everybody involved, and tomorrow, probably, I don't know how tough this is to say, maybe 45 to 30% of people are not going to watch hockey the rest. Because, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of hockey lords. Yeah, but I mean, there was a lot of hockey people watching that game last night.
Oh, yeah.
From Canada to the United States. And, like, it had everybody involved in a sport that nobody cared about. No, I shouldn't say that. That a lot of people don't follow or watch or care about. The NBA is now in that category of a lot of people don't watch nor do they care. But what can you do to get people for just one night? I'm not telling you to get people for 81 games. I'm not telling hockey to get people because hockey is a long season too.
You went to a great restaurant. They served a great meal. They did everything they could. Now you just got to go back.
And you will. You're not going to go back the next night. You're not going to go back the next week. No. But you're going
back.
And you're going to make it a point to kind of like make that sure that that's in your restaurant rotation. Guess what I'm going to go back to? I'm going to go back to hockey when the playoffs start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it because people have told me my whole life there's nothing better than playoff hockey. And last year I watched game 7, I watched game 6 and game 5. That was it. I don't know why I went backwards, but I did. And this year I watched the Four Nations Classic or whatever they called it. I watched that game last night and I did not change the channel. Not one time did I change the channel. One, it's hard to. Now, during the intermissions, I would get up and go around and do something and, you know, grab another beer, or throw some away, use the restroom, whatever. But I wasn't, like, going to beat Bobby Flay.
Right.
But NBA, you're the one sport that is falling out of touch. Baseball is keeping up with the Joneses. Hockey is doing its job. The NFL can do whatever it wants. It created this wild new kickoff rule that all of a sudden at the very end of the season we were all experts on because it didn't take long.
We all knew we'd be experts on that at the end of the year.
Oh, we didn't get it to the 20. It's got to go at least to the 5, or it's got to be here. Or just kick it out of the end zone. But yeah, I thought last night, big night for hockey. Baseball has a big season upcoming on its end of the bargain
as well.
And now
you can have a beard as a Yankee, and that's just blown the hockey coverage out of the water.
And then you'll have the World Baseball Classic next summer or spring. That's in 2026. And now it's, you know, here we are. We are up to the standards of now the NBA, you're the sport that everybody's looking at going, well, all of these are something and one is different. Find it. You know, and it's the NBA.
And it is the NBA. And I just saw a Gallup poll tweeted out this morning of what, you know, sports fans said they watch in 2024. 41% of sports fans watch the NFL. 10% of sports fans, which is number 2 on the list, watch Major League Baseball. And 9% of sports fans said they watched the NBA. And so I know there's been this kind of peddling of lies that basketball is this popular sport in America and it surpassed baseball and all that. It has not. More people are still watching Major League Baseball than they are watching the NBA. And that should be a concern because the lies that have been told, the fake news out there, oh, baseball's not number 2 anymore. Basketball is past baseball. That's not the case. You look at the numbers. We just gave them to you. And now they're kind of neck and neck. But baseball is ahead of basketball when it comes to what people are watching. And I think, you know, hockey took in like 4% or 5% of the vote. And I'm not saying it's all of a sudden going to be up to 10 or 20% because of what happened. But that's an opportunity now for hockey to kind of increase into the homes of folks and start knocking basketball back even further and start to kind of take some of that collateral damage of people being down on the NBA because of the opt-out of LeBron James in the All-Star game and the load management and everything. People just don't like, you know, with the NBA that, like, as an American, you can't opt out of work. You go every day and you work, and that's the way it goes. And you work through pain, and you're watching these NBA players. And you're like, you're opting out because you just don't feel like it. Like, screw you, pal. And then you got hockey players beating each other up and diving in front of pucks and playing big and all that kind of stuff. Like that game last night, if you're a sports fan, I don't know how you're not walking away going, man, hockey's now my second favorite sport, whether it's baseball or football or whatever, number one, you know?
Do you think all-star games should just be United States versus
the
world?
No, that gets old fast, though, I think. And again, you have to have that embracement. I don't think any other sport can really embrace it like baseball and hockey can.
I think basketball could, but I don't think they would do it because the U.S. would lose, and I don't think they'd want to do that. So they're not going to do that.
You know, if they just did the world versus the United States, you mean?
Yeah.
Not individual countries.
Yeah, so that's not going to be that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, and I just don't think NBA players would buy in as much as these hockey guys do.
The Summer Olympics was incredible. They gave their all. They were awesome.
Yeah, because what? The starting five for the world would be Giannis, Joker, Luka, SGA.
SGA, and then, throw in another, Gobert maybe. Wimby, once his shoulder gets back. I mean, it's really good.
And that's not good for the NBA either.
Wimby. I hope he's not a 30 for 30.
You know, me too. I read somewhere, it's somebody, and again, these wackadoodle doctors on the internet, how much you can trust and whatnot. But like somebody said, it's similar to what Chris Bosh went through. And like he had to manage that his entire career. And he was never able to be what we thought he was going to be because he had to manage that. Maybe because you're 7 foot tall. Like some things just are different inside of you,
Like 7'5".
Because Bosch had the same type of body makeup, right?
As all lanky.
Was Bosch 7?
Bosch probably 6'11", 7 feet tall.
Nobody's Wemby's height. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Foot tall.
It's
you're a tall guy, man.
Yes. Like, no doubt.
That has an impact on things, I'm sure, So, I just think right now we're looking at the NBA. You were back last night. Was anybody talking about the NBA last night being back on a full slate last night? Everybody was dialed in on this hockey, and then the Yankees now let you have a beard. So forget about the NBA.
I mean, I turned the Celtics. The Celtics off. I watched the U.S. hockey game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Celtics weren't at home last night.
Somebody's about to be very disappointed. I hope no Royals go to the Baseball Classic. Don't want to hear for 2 years how someone was a setback from being on the roster.
Oh, that was the biggest dumb baseball excuse. Like, baseball's littered with these just excuses that you roll your eyes at. Not being ready for the season because you played in the World Baseball Classic. You can go pound sand with that one. That is a bad excuse. I'm not buying into that at all. That is a baseball excuse to the highest.
Well, Bobby Witt Jr. is going to play shortstop for the United States team in next year's World Baseball
Classic. And I'm sure Cole Reagans will be pitching for the United States next year.
Possibly. I mean, if he goes out there and does his thing this year, he will. And Sal's going to play for Venezuela.
Salvi will be playing. Mm-hmm. Vinny will be playing for Italy, maybe.
Sure. If he wanted to, why not?
So what are you going to say there?
I think the only thing they think, because I think there is something to that. And that thing is like when Brady Singer pitched for Team USA, he pitched one time and then never pitched again. Whereas if he was in Surprise, he could be doing his typical, like going through the rotation, like getting his live reps in and all that sort of stuff. With the World Baseball Classic team, you're just like a teammate. Like you're not really getting the advantage that is spring. And so a lot of people were saying that like some people's swings were off because timing wasn't there because all they did was go to the World Baseball Classic and never played.
Yeah, but do you not like take live BP or you're not in the cage? I know it doesn't simulate the game, but I think you would get more out of live BP. Like I'm just to the point, I don't buy any of these excuses baseball players peddle because they're all little excuses that by themselves sound okay, but then when you start hearing them all together, you're like, all right, come on.
Because even Bobby started off a little slow.
That year, yeah. C-ball, hit-ball.
That was also like Bobby Witt Jr.'s like first like 3 years in the league. It was like COVID, World Baseball Classic, and then finally he got a full season of spring and he became what he was last year.
Yeah.
So there is some things to it, but I don't think it's like one of those things where it would ruin a season.
But people, I mean, in baseball, I mean, my shoulder hurts. We'll see you next year. It's February.
Yeah,
next year.
Well, you also can't like walk over the chalked line. You can't like have your hat on backwards. You can't, there's all sorts of weird superstitions.
I'm out on the baseball excuses. It's just too much for me.
Baseball season is here. Baseball plays today at 2:00 on 96.5 The Fan. It is the Royals today at 2:00 live in Arizona. Coming up, we'll wrap this show up on this side. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports Royals baseball. 2 o'clock today as we wrap up Fesco and Dusty on a Friday. Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2 coming up after this, and then baseball. So if you're looking forward to Carrington, he might be on the air at 5 o'clock.
That'd
I don't know.
Awesome.
I don't know. What time would you come to work if you did have to be on the air till 5? Would you come in at 4?
Or I'd would probably you feel come like in there like, what are you doing all day? You know, like,
yeah.
I feel like I'd sleep. I feel like I would have got after it last night.
The hockey game, yeah.
I would have gotten after it. And then today I would have probably slept in a little bit.
Or I had to pull the LeBron and called in sick for the last hour.
Like 3:30. Like, sorry, guys.
Yeah. Or whoever, if Logan's doing after hours tonight, you're like, hey, man, do you want to do a 4-hour show from 5 to 9? Because that's happened before. But no, Carrington's actually here already. So I just was wondering, because I know Rob Britton, he's the one I need to talk to about this. Because, like, what does Rob do? Because, like, Rob didn't want to be here until, like, 2 o'clock, really. But a good Friday for them.
Actually, I'd rather do like 2 to 3 and then have the baseball game from, you know, 3 to 6.
For sure.
Rather than, of course. Yeah. Enjoy the game. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, what would you rather do? 6 to 7 a.m. or 9 to 10 a.m.?
6 to 7 a.m. every day of the week. Yeah. No question.
Mm,
yeah.
9 to 10 be nice.
9 to 10 be good.
Nah. 6 to 7. People are getting up, getting on their day. And it's at 7 o'clock. You can catch a 9 o'clock flight out of town. You can get your whole weekend ahead of you. You know, you got all that going for you. You know, like, 6 to 7 is. The earlier you can get things done, the better. But now, in 2 weeks.
10 a.m. is really late on Friday.
Well,
have your whole weekend ahead of you.
Hey, wouldn't you like to have 2 more hours of that weekend? But I think when you look at the baseball thing, that'll flip in the next 2 weeks or so when we set the clocks back 2 weeks from Sunday. And so then the games won't start till 3 o'clock. So then Carrington will be 2 to 3, and then we'll have the baseball games after that. And then Vern and Hot Stove and all that good stuff coming up. So, yeah, it's the start of baseball season, man. I think you should be excited this afternoon. Turn on 96.5, listen to the game, and see how O'Hare or whoever that is, a catcher, is going to do. And the other fellows that are out there playing in this game today. Lynch IV is on the mound.
Lynch IV.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
Yeah, woo. The guy catching is actually the third Morris twin. He's the triplet, O'Keefe Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Team Player Award or the Derek Thomas MVP Award went to Mr. Joseph Tooney.
What an interesting award to be given to Joe Tooney, and it makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. It really does. Like
Team MVP.
Yeah, it embodies what an MVP and a team player and a teammate is all about, right? Hey, Joe, we know you're really good at this left guard position. But you've seen what's going on next to you, man. Like, we're going to bounce you outside, and you're going to start playing there yesterday. And he went out there, and he played his balls off, man. He was outstanding at left tackle. And then the Super Bowl happened, and it wasn't great for anybody, you know, along the offensive line. But sometimes when you're piecemealing things together, eventually time just runs out. But doesn't mean Joe Tooney wasn't fantastic this year and wasn't one of those guys that you're like, you'll put a pelt on the wall for Joe Tooney when it's all said and done, man. That guy was phenomenal.
Incredible. Laid it all on the line. We wouldn't have been in that game if it weren't for Joe Tooney.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, don't get to the Super Bowl if it weren't for that switch and his ability to do that. I mean, I don't think people give it enough credit. I know we've talked about it. I know we've done our due diligence, but it's just hard to fathom. That's maybe the second hardest position in football that he switched to and was pretty competent at it for about a month.
I mean, it really is. It has become more of a, I hate to use the word technician position, but it really has been with as good. And you know, defensive linemen and offensive linemen back in the day used to be fat. You know, they're not anymore.
Yes,
I mean, these guys are lean, athletic, you know, just unbelievable football players and athletes.
Gilbert Brown?
Yeah.
The Fridge?
Yeah, Fridge Perry, Gilbert Brown. You know, all those guys back in the day were just blobs, right?
Vince Wolfric was like the last one.
Yeah. He probably was when you think about it.
Now, over 400 pounds.
Yeah, but
I guess
now,
Vita Vey counts, but he's more strong, fat,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he's like fast.
Yeah, he's fast.
He just has
too.
The gut out.
But you look at defensive linemen now, they look like just bulkier wide receivers. I mean, there's no fat on them at all. They're chiseled. I mean, it is a hard position to play and to just have to move over there. So that's a great move by the Chiefs, because if you would have asked me who the MVP was this year, I mean, I could lean Kareem Hunt if you really boil down to it, because he came in at a time when you needed somebody and he did a hell of a job for you. MVP would be a stretch. I don't know if there really was a true MVP. That's why Joe Tooney makes so much sense for this one.
You give Xavier Worthy any votes?
You could. But I'm sure he's going to get their Rookie of the Year or whatever.
But I mean, like, MVP.
Yeah, I mean, you probably could. I mean, Xavier Worthy had better season than any of us thought, you know, he did have. I mean, the guy had 12 touchdowns. He led all rookie wide receivers in touchdowns this year. Think about that.
I think you look at his playoff numbers. I know the Super Bowl skewed because the game was a blowout.
It is what it is.
It's still numbers. They're still there.
Yeah, nobody's going to look back on that and go, well, that touchdown doesn't count because it was – no, it is what it is, right? Like, that's why I don't believe in running up the score. You still got to go out there and play these games and these moments. So, no, Xavier Worthy, man, if you would have said at the beginning of the year with this wide receiver class that he'd lead the league rookie wide receivers in touchdowns, nobody would have bought that.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody would have bought
it. No way. Harrison.
Yeah, exactly.
Neighbors.
Right. But also depends on who your quarterback is, too. You know, you mentioned Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, Brian Thomas. Like, who's throwing them the football right now, right? So you got Pat. But even still, he still led the all-rookie wide receivers in touchdowns. And he was looked at as, like, the seventh or eighth best wide receiver when they picked him. So how outstanding is that? Again, draft your wide receiver. Don't pay $40 million to Ja'Marr Chase.
For the texter who, I believe, sent this text now twice, why are baseball shows called the hot stove? What does that mean? The definition is the hot stove refers to the Major League Baseball offseason, particularly the time around winter meetings when free agent signings and trades are most pivotal. And hot stove shows are always in the preseason, so that's why they give it the hot stove.
It's wintertime. It's like olden days. You're sitting in a log cabin. The hot stove's burning to keep you warm. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah, so there's your definition of why shows are that. Because that's normally hot stove shows are like during the beginning
of
the
season. They start in like November, usually December, January, February. You're sitting around the hot stove, warming your hands, talking baseball. That's, you know, that's kind of how they came up with that. I know a lot of people don't use a stove anymore to heat their house.
Speaking of baseball terms, can of corn. Mac found out what that was earlier this year, where it originated. It's just an easy, lazy fly ball that started back from a definition of a grocery store. Corn was up on the top shelf, knocked off at the hook. Easy catch into your hands. What's something easy you're going to knock out this weekend?
Me first?
Yeah. Okay. Burping?
Yeah, but definitely some more burps, some pot roast, finish those leftovers, some basketball, probably some new stuff around the house. We got to hang photos. So that'll be my...
Oh, that's terrible.
It's fun. No, that's my favorite.
You got to make sure they're even, man. You don't want them all turned to the side. And you got to get that level out
that
there.
And make,
like with the OCD, I'm telling you right now, that would not be a good task for me to go out there.
But it's fun to just put them on the way. Oh, this would look good here. Oh, this would look cool here. I like that part because all the stuff's built, all the boring stuff's done. And now it's just like, let's make it look pretty.
Yeah.
Do you need me to come over?
Let's do it.
I didn't know if you needed
a garage.
I didn't know if you needed a stud finder.
I use that joke every time. Mm-hmm. My stud finder's broken, man. It keeps going off.
Yeah.
My wife was playing a game with my daughter's friends the other night, and they had to like guess the word, and it said sugar daddy. And they're all sitting around the table. They go, sugar daddy. I go, is somebody calling me? And I mean, the laughter from these kids was fantastic because I was like half asleep on the couch, you know? I'm like, you call me?
What are you saying?
Somebody need me?
That's great.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, hanging pictures, man. Have fun with that. But just, I mean, I know from my standpoint, like, I'll have one like this to the left, one leaning to the right.
1 centimeter off. Yeah. Like, no!
How many photos do you have to hang?
It's probably posters/photos, 10-ish.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
It'll be
different sizes.
It'll be done in an hour.
What kind of posters?
Well, what? It's not called. There are posters,
like,
but then there
Pat
are.
Pat Mahomes poster. That's
going. Well,
that's
all.
I've got a special signed Pat Mahomes framed photo that'll be in my game room. Oh yeah, next to the Lynn Dawson signed photo.
Oh,
that
that's
I have.
Cool.
Yep,
it's one of my biggest regrets is not having Lenny sign something for me when we worked together.
That'd be awesome.
Like,
yeah,
just never was that guy. You know, I hated.
Yeah,
to be that guy.
Kind of a weird thing. No, so that's for me. I don't know about you guys.
I don't really have a whole lot. Like going out to eat tonight and then going to Green Lady Lounge. So a sidecar is probably my can of corn. Can we just sit back, listen to jazz, listen to a sidecar at the lounge? I love Green Lady Lounge. I think it's the best place in Kansas City for like that sort of like
for that
feel.
Vibe.
For a cocktail, live music. Like there's not a better place in the city than Green Lady Lounge.
I got to get there.
Never been?
Never been.
I guess you haven't really been 21 in the city.
That's
yet.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy drive right there.
We'll do it.
Down I-35.
Lance, I hope you have a good time on your date, man. I just don't believe it. It's all the text line. It is the week.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And go out there and do something nice for somebody. You never know. The weather's been cold, but you don't have to be. You can change their day, week,
shorts
month, or even their
Monday.
Year.
Woo!
Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, their month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay warm. Cody, Golden, Drew from 10 to 2. Join you next.